Twice, am I on, Steve? Ooh, that sounds good. Okay, so a month or so ago, Rachel posted on family WhatsApp that Kira's best friend from school was getting baptized. She went on to say that the friend had no church background and that she was one of the friends that Kira had invited to cabaret. I don't know what you feel when you hear a story like that. I always get a real lift from it. I think it's great to hear someone is committing to follow Jesus. And I would love to hear more stories like that. And I'd love to see it happen amongst my friends as well. This story was especially poignant for me because it took me back to one summer at New Wine when a teenage Kira had come to me and said, "Dave, can you help me? I've got a group of friends who want to come to cabaret. We can't afford a table. What can we do?" And we almost without thinking, I said, "Kira, if you can fill a table with your friends, you can have a table for free." And so Kira, for a number of years, faithfully brought friends to cabaret. I remember one Sunday morning as we, well, certainly I, bleary-eyed, met after a cabaret the night before. Dave commented that the best dressed table was the teens' table. And Kira's brothers joined in on the act. So Jonathan brought friends for a while. And I know that, I think I'm right in saying that at the last cabaret, Samuel was there with his friend Jacob, who happens to be the son of one of Rachel's neighbours. And that neighbour was also a regular at cabaret herself. And Rachel went on to note that you never know when and where there will be fruit with the seeds that you sow. Or as Paul put it, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." So, question for you to get you warmed up. Twos or threes? When was the last time you feel you planted a seed or you watered a seed that had been planted? Split into groups quickly.
You should get people into groups and then tell.
Anyone else? Rachel, do you want to come and tell your story from this week? Well, Rachel let me know about something that I thought was really good. God is at work. He's making something grow. Seeds are planted. Seeds are being watered. And there are different ways it goes through that. So, how can we see more of seeds being planted? Or how can we, working with the Holy Spirit, as Roy said, plant seed? How can we water seed that's been planted? It's been a real privilege to take the teens through the well-being journey. Last Sunday was the last week, hence they had a full English breakfast. Although, as Roy noted, their breakfasts were more half English. Anyway, we were doing vocational well-being, which I have to say, when I first heard it, was one of the topics I was scratching my head a bit. But it was about jobs. Did you know that you're going to spend 90,000 hours of your lifetime at work? Sorry? It feels like more. I see Liz knows about this. She's counting every hour. We also got the teens, or they got the teens, to think about gifts, talents, and skills that they might have. And I'd really encourage you, if you notice something in one of our teens, why don't you just quietly encourage them and say, "I saw you doing that. That was really good. You've got a real talent." And then it also got them to begin to consider purpose and calling. And one thing I thought that was really good about it was I made the point that life is a journey. You know, don't expect to, or it isn't, if you don't have a clear idea of your purpose and calling and know where you're going in a straight line path at the age of 18, that doesn't mean that you've missed it. I think many people who do feel that at that age would admit in later life that life hadn't unfolded in the way they expected. There were probably meanders in the journey. I know from my own purpose and calling it developed over a number of years. From my early teens, I began to feel that I wouldn't be going back to Brazil. Later teens, I felt that being getting a job, getting a degree, getting a job, being part of a church, and being very active in that was the way forward. My mid-20s, when I developed or began to crystallize the calling that I had for Wiltshire. And it was towards the end of my 20s, early 30s, that I began to see that there was a role that I could fulfill within Dayspring. And of course, later in life, I'm now leading Open Blue. So over the time, it's developed, it's been a journey, and I wouldn't change any of it because it's what's brought me to where I am. So life is a journey, and one journey I'm really getting to know really well is the journey from Carn to Nottingham. Isabella's at university up there. And I don't know about you, but because of my interest in cars, as I drive, I sort of notice the other cars on the road. Might be a new model out that I look at and think, wow, I haven't seen that before, that looks quite good, or whatever. And so as I leave Carn, I will notice what car I'm following, what car's following me. And as I go through the journey, you'll notice that a car is following you for a certain distance or going along. On the motorway, you get the ebb and flow of the traffic, and a car will overtake you, and you'll overtake a car, and it'll overtake you, and that can go on for tens of miles. I haven't yet, and I don't expect that there'll be a car that I'm following as I leave Carn, and it's still there in front of me as I turn into the university at Nottingham. Because different cars, different vehicles accompany me at different points on the journey. And they have their own journeys, and I'm accompanying them on their journeys, but they're going their own way. And the journey of life is like that as well, isn't it? So how many of you are still in contact with your school friends? Pam is. Well, and Sarah is, see? You're a bit younger though, Sarah. So. I've found actually through Facebook, it's fantastic, I've been able to get back in contact with friends I grew up in Brazil with. I wouldn't say we're friends, but it's been great to see where their lives are at, what they're doing now, and get a glimpse of all of that. And so, you know, there are people that accompany us in life's journey at different points, and we accompany them in their journey at different points. When you get a new job, you get to know your work colleagues. Some of them will become friends. It's likely when you move on to another job, or when they move on to another job, that friendship won't continue. The same when you move into a house, you get to know the neighbours, you become acquaintances and friends with them. But as you move, if you move to a new house, or if they move, you won't necessarily stay in contact, in touch with them. So as we journey through life, we're accompanied at different points by different people. We accompany people on their journeys at different points. If we believe that God has provided a job for us, or that he's blessed us with a house, or that he's guided us to live in a certain part of the country, is it possible that he's put us alongside other people for a particular reason too? Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he told the disciples that they must attend church every Sunday morning, and that they must do their quiet time regularly, daily. In the morning's better than the evening. And in the summer, they ought to go to Soul Survivor and New Wine. I can see from your smiles you don't believe me. He didn't, did he? You know, Matthew, Mark and Luke, it says that he said to the disciples, go into all the world, preach the good news and make disciples. Luke records that he said, wait for the helper, the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, we see the Holy Spirit comes on that first Pentecost. And Peter immediately stands up and preaches to the crowd. And 3,000 people decide to follow Jesus. If God has blessed us with a job, yes, we will use our skills and talents to the best of our ability. And I think part of our witness within the workplace is that. But he has also brought us into contact with our work colleagues. And he wants to... who wants to use us to plant seed and to water seeds that have been planted. God loves our friends and our neighbours and our work colleagues and family more than we can imagine, more than we do certainly. He sent Jesus to die for them as much as he sent Jesus to die for us. And as Dave mentioned earlier, strangely, he wants to work through us to reach them. He chooses to do that. So we need to be intentional about joining in with what God is doing. And I think we need to be asking, you know, who are you putting on my heart, Lord? What do you want to say to them? And then we need to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So in preparing for this talk, I was been asking, God, who are you putting on my heart? And Liam, who's been volunteering on the bus at Burbage and Uphaven, his name popped into my mind as I was praying that on Monday. He's in the army. He's due to be posted to Bicester. And Tuesday, we were expecting it to be his last time that he could volunteer with Open Blue. He's been great. He's really enthusiastic. He's got lots of energy. He's a good deal younger than both John and myself. He gets on really well with the kids. And it's been fantastic to work with him. And on Monday, I felt the Holy Spirit put on my heart and prompt me to offer to pray for him and to just bless him as he moves on. And I was up for doing that, but you know, for a little bit that afternoon, I was thinking, well, what happens if he doesn't want to be prayed for? And what happens if he's offended? And is there another way I could do it? But anyway, as the session came to the end and we were chatting, turns out he might be back in June because the army aren't posting him quite as quickly as he initially first thought. But because it could be his last thing, I just said to him, I said, thank you for all you've done and everything. And I said, look, would it be okay if I could pray for you? I'd really like to bless you before you go on. And he was really up for that. He thought it was great. So John and I gathered round and I prayed for him. I didn't say there was anything special. I thanked God for the gifts and talents and all that he'd done for Open Blue and for who he was. And I just asked the Lord to bless him as he went on. And he was really appreciative of that. I probably should have known that it turns out he is a Christian. But it opened up a conversation. He's getting married in August to what he described as a good Christian woman. And it was just really encouraging. He went away encouraged. I went away encouraged. So early in my time at Dayspring, I was asked to lead the Bible study part of the midweek groups that we had at the time. And we were looking at the parable of the sower. And you all know the story. Farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path and the birds ate it. And some fell in the rocky places. And it grew up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came out, it scorched the plants. And then some of it fell amongst the thorns. And as it grew up, it was choked by the thorn bushes. And some other seed fell in the good soil, and there it produced a harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. Now, when I was growing up, when we looked at that story, it was always about making sure that you were planted in the good soil. You needed to avoid the temptations of the world so your faith wasn't choked. You needed to do your quiet time and have a deep relationship with God so that your roots were deep and you weren't scorched by the sun when the testing times came. And so it really opened my mind when I was leading this study that the focus was turning it around to look at thinking about where your friends and work colleagues and neighbours were, which soil were they in? And, you know, do you have a friend who's on the pathway? And when you talk about anything spiritual, it's like it goes in one ear, out the other ear, and the devil takes it away. And I found that really helpful. But the thing is, if you've got friends like that, and I've had friends like that, and they are on your heart, God and the Holy Spirit, the promptings from the Holy Spirit, can change that situation. Holy Spirit understands people the better than they understand themselves, knows what is the next thing that's important for the next step for them. What is the thing that you can say, you can do to them, do for them, how you can be a friend to them that will move them from the pathway into the good soil so that they're more receptive to the message the next time. And they don't have to pass through all the soils. They can go straight from one to the other. Dave was talking last couple of weeks, been talking about the resurrection. And 2 weeks ago, he got us to think about questions that people ask about the resurrection and how we answer them. And he mentioned that there are some friends that no matter how well you answer all the questions, they will still refuse to believe. And I've had friends like that. And you come to a realization that as they're asking questions, you have good discussion, but it really isn't going anywhere. And they're just enjoying the discussion as much as wanting to find out the answers. But again, if those people are on your heart, the Holy Spirit will know how to break down those barriers so that they can become more receptive to hearing about God and want to hear more. So sometimes when we're prompted by the Spirit, we think it's a step too far. So with Liam, I was thinking, what happens if he's offended? I could have watered down what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying and said to him, it's been really great for you being at Open Blue, wish you all the best in the future, and I'll be thinking and praying for you and praying that God blesses you. And I'm sure he'd have been really appreciative of that. But it wasn't what I felt God had asked me to do. And I think there are other times when we may well think that, wow, is that all you're asking, Lord? Surely we could go further, we could do more. There are times when I've had conversations with people and things have turned to talking about the spiritual and I felt the door is just ajar. And if, instead of staying in the conversation and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, I've metaphorically kicked the door open, preached the whole gospel message, offered them the chance to pray the prayer, and been a bit surprised when they're overwhelmed. And a bit saddened when, in the future, the discussion never opens up on spiritual things again. I think it was Francis of Assisi who said, preach the gospel all the time and use words only when you need to. So we can do that. So I first spoke on this in the autumn of 2020. You can go back on the website and get a lot more detail than I've gone in today. And at the time, I was very intentional about praying every day. You know, who are you putting on my heart, Lord? And I felt that, I think almost once a week, I felt God put somebody on my heart and give me something to say and to do to do for him. And it was exciting to see how the Spirit responded and what was going on. And in 1 week I'd do something for somebody and then it'd be somebody else the next week. But I also began to see that a few weeks down the line, it'd be like they'd be the next step for the first person. And I really felt something was building. And I don't know. I have to confess that I've got out of the discipline of doing that. As things opened up, life got busy, but that's no excuse. I've got a new focus with Open Blue, but again, that's no excuse. And so I am going to try and every day ask the Lord. Okay. I'm going to try every day to ask the Lord, remember to ask the Lord, who are you putting on my heart? What do you want to say to him? And I'm really looking forward to God talking to me maybe once a week, maybe more often. And I'm going to try and be intentional and to do that regularly and to see how God uses me and how I'm able to join in with what he's doing and how maybe there'll be stories of seeds planted and planted seeds being watered and people's lives being changed. And I'll lay it open. You can ask me next Sunday how I got on. You might want to leave it a month because I'm pretty good for the first week. Catch me out. The only thing is, if you ask me, I might ask you how you're getting on. But here's a way that we can join in with what God's doing. We can plant seeds, we can see seeds planted, and who knows what we'll see happen amongst our friends, work colleagues, neighbours, and family. Let's pray.